Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here on location, the Mendoza home. God's been good. And praise the Lord. Just want to reiterate some of them announcements. If you can come next Saturday, it would be a blessing. Just come, be prepared. Don't come in clean clothes. We have plenty for you to do. We're getting just basically cleaning, a lot of cleaning to do at the church next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then again, for the hand sanitizer, it's not that we're looking to get free hand sanitizer. If you can find some and buy it, we'll reimburse you. It's just we can't find any, and it'd be good to have it for our service. We do have some that we are going to bring, but we want to make sure and also with the social distancing, just respect others, please. Next Sunday, it's going to be a challenge not to hug and shake hands and all that, but we need to be respectful to those. We want people to come. We don't want them to be fearful if they come that someone's going to touch them or what have you. It's just crazy. It's a crazy world we live in, so please respect that. If you come and if you have any questions about our service, please let me know. We are going to be having our Sunday school starting at 9:30, and then for that hour till 10:30, and then we'll have fellowship from 10:30 to 10:45, and then we'll start our AM service. Be a little different on the snacks, so if you're worried about that, we're going to have gloves and workers. That gets back to the latex gloves if you have any of them. So anyways, it's good to be in the house of, not the house of, well, this is should be the
Amen.
House of the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody's house should be the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. So today we're going to be in part two of our mini-series on these things, seven steps towards godly living. The plan is to have this uploaded to our website on the recording today. In audio for those that would like to listen to it at home or online. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we will start our reading in verse 1 through verse 15, and then we'll get into the second part of this series. So the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If you remember, if you were with us last week, he's writing to believers. When he says here, he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Knowledge is one of the points we're going to cover today. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, here it is again, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith, see that goes back to save people again, add to your faith virtue, that's what we covered last week, and to virtue knowledge, we'll start with knowledge this week, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So there's your seven steps in the text. So step one, virtue, two, knowledge, three, temperance, four, patience, five, godliness, six, brotherly kindness, and then the seventh, and most important, would be charity or love. Verse 8, for if these things we just mentioned, be in you and abound, that they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember last week, we talked about these things and the benefit of having these things that you shall, let me go back to some of my notes here. These things would guarantee our fruitfulness. They will guarantee our spiritual growth or our discernment in the Lord. They'll guarantee us absolute assurance of our salvation. And these things will guarantee us that we'll never fall or we'll never stumble. So he says in verse 8, if these things be in you, these seven steps, these seven principles, that they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's a sad commentary right there. Verse 9 is really addressing a carnal Christian. It's somebody that lacks these seven steps, these seven principles. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, these seven steps, you shall never fall. Or let me just say this, you shall never stumble. Verse 11, for so is the entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of what? These things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, as the Lord told Peter, you will die for me. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your precious holy word. It's a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. I pray that you'd be with us these next few moments as we preach and teach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at these seven steps to godly living, these things, we realized and we were honest that today many Christians have failed, and this Christian has failed, and many times, throughout your Christian experience, you're going to have trouble, you're going to fall. But if you want to be a successful Christian, you must apply the principles found in God's Word, not just these seven steps, but all of them. And then we looked at the experiences of Demas. You remember how Demas ministered with Paul, and and we know the end of that he forsook Paul. And then Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And then we talked about there's just a lot of people you might know, a lot of people I might know, that Christians that have departed from the faith. They're no longer walking with the Lord. And we talked about even preachers, there's a lot of men out there that had once been a great pastor, evangelist, and even missionaries, that their life doesn't even reflect at all the cause of Christ. I'm not challenging their salvation, but it's surely a sad commentary when someone departs from the faith. And I believe it just really falls to where they got away from the Bible and the Word of God and praying and fellowshipping with other Christians. We've seen in our text in 2 Peter, we've seen the spoils or the list, and mentioned something of them already, of the fruitfulness that, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be barren. I want these things implemented in my life and reflected in my life. Amen. Peter's, when he's writing here, he's just really trying to emphasize that we really need to do these things. And then if we do them, we're guaranteed that we'll be fruitful, that we'll have spiritual discernment or knowledge in the Word, that we won't have to struggle with our salvation as many do. Amen. We can know that we're saved. Amen. You know, and you say, well, that's not a big deal. Well, it's a big deal to some. You know, doubt sows fear and fear sows doubt. You know, you don't need to doubt your salvation. You trust God and His Word. And then we've seen how we can be strong to where we're not going to fall. So then we left off in the steps and we covered virtue. We covered virtue last week. And virtue is simply moral uprightness, holiness. It means excellent living. And and really what it's simply saying is that God is telling us that we should live moral and pure lives. Amen. There ought to be a difference between us and the world. We preached and talked about the word fornication, and that's simply any sexual activity outside the confine of holy matrimony, outside of marriage. You know, if you're living with someone and you're in a relationship, you're not married, you're not right with God. It doesn't matter if you're right with me. That I'm not the standard, amen? But God is the standard. Because right. God said, be holy for I am holy, amen?
Amen.
And I really tried, the best I could is communicate, if we're not right, to get right, amen? Start taking the steps today to get right with God. And that's just kind of Christianity 101, you know? I don't know what other churches are preaching, if they're not preaching the Bible or not, but I'm just telling you, if you're shacked up and you're living with somebody or you have sexual relations outside of marriage, you ain't right with God, period. So don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. Amen. I'm just delivering the news. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So the second one, let's go back to our text. Our second one in verse 5 is knowledge. So in 2 Peter 1, you see, and this, let me back up to verse 4. It says, whereby we're given unto exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, verse 5, and besides this, give all diligence. Give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. That's what we call it. We covered last week. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge literally means, in this context here, an understanding of the truth and how it's lived out. Let me say that again. It's an understanding of the truth, and we know what this is. This is truth. Understanding of the truth and how it is lived out. The Word is telling us that we can have those things we discovered there, the benefits or the spoils of it, by having sound knowledge of the doctrines of Christianity and apply them in our lives and then live them out into the world. I brought my little book with me today. As I said last week, I'm a gleaner, and I've gleaned some things out of this book. This book is called The Preacher's Outline Sermon Bible. Anyhow, if you have enough money and you can afford it, someone gave me this. It's a good commentary to have. But I really like what it said here on a couple things I want to share with you out of the book here. Let me see if I can find the one. I should have highlighted it. Okay. Anyhow, I'll just go to knowledge. I was going to go back to the diligence. So he says, first, a person is to give all diligence to add these things, and to add them to what? To our faith. And we covered virtue, right? We're to add these things to our faith and to our lives. As the scripture says, the believer is to work out his own salvation. It doesn't mean that you got to get saved again, but your salvation ought to be worked out. We've used this term before, progressive sanctification. If you say, well, I got a problem with that, well, that's your problem, it ain't mine, amen. I'm just simply telling you, you ought to have a work. You should not be a Christian. You shouldn't be a Christian that's in his spiritual state that he was last year or the year before. You ought to be growing, amen.
Yes.
There's too many pygmies that are Christians today, right? No, they just don't grow, you know. If you look at a child or a baby and the baby never develops or grows, someone say, there's something wrong. That baby is undeveloped, right? There's something wrong. And it's the same thing with the life of the believer. You should be growing. You should be working it out. Paul says that you should give diligence to this. And then he talked about the virtue. And I just want to, you said, well, you already covered that. Well, just hang on just for a second here. It means moral excellence and goodness of character, moral strength and moral courage. Now, if you'll go back in the Bible, as we talked about last week about virtue, where it says that Jesus, you know, we talked about the woman, the issue of blood, how the virtue flowed out of Jesus. Jesus was a man. Now, I know that Ruth is considered virtuous in the Bible. And then there's the woman in Proverbs 31, that she's a virtuous woman. But you know that in this Greek word that we're reading today out of Peter, the word virtue means manliness. Manliness means being an excellent person in life, a real man or a real woman, living a life just like one should in the most excellent way. It means always choosing the excellent way. Then we see knowledge here. It says, then add to your virtue and to virtue knowledge. Now, knowledge is a practical intelligence or practical wisdom or practical insight. It means knowing what to do in every situation and not just knowing to do it, but doing it. It is practical, practical day-to-day knowledge that sees the situation and knows how to handle it. Remember the charge here. It says we must add to our faith knowledge. We've got to give diligence. We've got to be determined to do this in our lives. I have some scripture I'd like to share with you in John chapter 8, verse 31. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You hear what he said? Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciples, you got to continue in my word. Romans chapter 15, 14 says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also to admonish one another. 1 Corinthians 1, 5 says, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Colossians 2, 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. James chapter 3, verse 13, who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation, or that is behavior and conduct, his work with meekness and wisdom. I mean, there's several other scriptures that talk about having knowledge. You say, okay, well, how I acquire this knowledge, how am I to use it? Well, you are to use it to witness. You are to not only get the word in you, but you got to get the word out of you. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we are to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, I'm glad somebody's listening today. Amen. I'm kind of out here all on my own. Thank you. We are to, you know, Jeremiah talked about getting the word in him. Didn't he? He said in Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me as a joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. What is he talking about? He isn't talking about how he took the scripture and tore it off and ate it. No, he's talking about he got the word in him. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. He got it in him. You know, Peter says the same thing in the book that we're in. No, it's in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Mm-hmm. We need the word in us. Jeremiah talks about eating it. Peter talks about drinking it. as milk to grow. We need the word.
Yes.
Why do I emphasize so much? I don't know where you're at in your Bible reading this year, but you should be reading the word every day. Amen. It was a good time to catch up, right?
Amen.
I mean, I quoted it already, Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, it says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
Do you see what Solomon's writing here in Proverbs? He's writing to his son, you know, Rehoboam. You know, he's saying, hey, if you will seek and pursue knowledge like you do riches,
amen,
and it'll be profitable for you.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but how many times have you ever been going through a trial and it just seemed like you didn't plan on reading a certain scripture, and then, bam, the word of God just comes to you, right? It's the word, amen? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now look at what it says next. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We ought to not only cultivate these steps of having a virtuous life, but then we need to have knowledge of the word of God. We ought to know. Listen, when people come to you, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to witness during this plague, but you know, when people come to you, they say, hey, I've had a guy ask me, he goes, I've just had people ask me all kinds of questions. We ought to be able to answer them from the Bible.
Right.
You know, one guy said, man, are we in the great tribulation? I said, no, because I ain't going to be here when that happens.
Yes,
true.
I said, but I'll tell you what, it's on the horizon.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's closer than it's ever been. And we're to use it. Amen?
Yep.
So let's move on. Let's try to get some of these today. You guys are holding me up. Right? All right. So we see here, he says, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now we're in verse 6. And to knowledge temperance. To knowledge, temperance. This one will drag you over the coals. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean, well, what does the word mean? The word means self-control, temperance. It implies that I do not do as I please. That I control myself, and I do as the Lord pleases.
Ooh.
Well, I'm telling you, this one's pretty heavy right here.
Read that again.
It implies that I don't do as I please. I control myself, and I do as the Lord pleases. That is self-control under the power of the Spirit. Paul talks a lot about this. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, let's see if I can find it here. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What's he talking about being a castaway? He's talking about being worthless, amen? He's talking about shipwreck like we talked about last week. Talk about like Demas, like Hymenaeus and Alexander and them other rats in the Bible, right? Yes. Paul says, I don't want to be on the rocks. I want to be sailing for the Lord.
Amen.
I don't want my life to be a castaway. And that's why he says, I bring into my body into subjection. He gives the idea that he beats his body, whatever it is. Well, I don't, you know, I got to be careful. Amen. This ain't my house. But next week I'll be in my house. Amen. Right? But I'm talking, you know, talking about self-control, we should each apply that to our lives. Listen, you ain't got much of a Christian testimony if you don't have any self-control.
Right. Yep.
You know. Why? Because the world doesn't have any self-control. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're walking, talking, eating, drinking, doing just like the world does, they say, man, he ain't under subjection. He ain't under control. Man, I've already got all that. He ain't got nothing I want. So the problem is many times we lack self-control. And if we're going to have the spoils, what are they? If we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to have spiritual knowledge or discernment, if we're going to be confident in our faith and our walk with Christ, we got to have self-control. We got to, you know.
Amen.
If you think about it, you think, well, what are the areas that I need self-control or you need self-control in or we need self-control in, right? Well, the first one would be this thing right here. You know, I just need it right now because, you know, you guys can grab yours and pull it out, right? You know what I'm saying? It's a tongue, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, Bible says a lot about the tongue.
Yeah.
Bible says a lot about gossiping. You know, the Bible says a lot about losing self-control. You know, we never lived in a day so much with road rage. Mm-hmm. I think it was not too long ago, Brother Steve Adams in Casper, Wyoming, was watching some sort of documentary about the fellow that got killed in Hayden up here. And they say that something happened on the freeway or there was a road rage and these, whoever they were, they followed and they killed him. Mm-hmm. You never thought you'd live in a day like that, right?
Right.
Hey, I'm telling you, you're just better off just to be a chicken and say, God bless you, man. You're right. I'm a fool. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but my driving habits, that has happened to me, amen. But you got to be careful about what you say. You got to be careful about what you say about others. And many Christians today are unfruitful and they fall into sin. They have no spiritual knowledge or discernment because they've allowed themselves to get into the point to where they have no self-control. Right? The temptation's too great. Hey, listen. There's some people in this room I've apologized to, I've said things to. I say, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. It's a character flaw, and I'm working on it. Amen? But we all need to be working on it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Listen to what the Bible says. It says in James chapter 1, verse 26, is there any among you that seem to be religious? What he's saying, is there anybody around you that, you know, I mean, you know, I believe about religion. I don't believe in religion. I believe in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's real and life-changing. But people do say that. They'll say, well, I can discern that you're a religious man. Now, I don't go off on them, you know, and say, well, I don't believe in religion and all. No, I understand what they're saying. And if someone says that to you, you got to take that as a compliment and work on it. If someone don't know the Lord, you know, or they watch what they say around you, you know, there's a lot to be said about that.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
You know, and James is saying, if you not only, you know, if you claim to be religious, listen to what he says. If you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. That means he has no testimony. You know, you're preaching ought to line up with your lifestyle.
Yep.
Or your lifestyle will line up with your preaching. You know, I don't know if you guys ever remember, but there was a guy. Did I say that? If I told this story, what happens is you get aged and you repeat your stories, right? But if you...
Man.
Well, we get them, so
that's good. That's all right. Well, you might have heard this story. I hope it wasn't last week, but there was a drywall hanger I knew, and his name of his company was Hanging for the King. Did I tell that story last week? All right, but I've told it before. But he was drywall hanger, and that was his whole thing. He was hanging for the king. But the man had a terrible testimony. Man, he'd come on the job. He'd start throwing people's stuff around and this and that. What was the deal? Well, he was preaching something, but he was living another thing.
Yes.
Amen. James goes on to say in James chapter 3, in verses 1 through 12, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters," that means teachers, "knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body." Now listen, the illustration that James gives about the tongue, he says, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Then he says this in verse 4, "Behold, the ships, which though they be so great are driven of the fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm," or a very small rudder. "Wheresoever the governor listeth," verse 5, "even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how a great matter a little fire kindleth." Come on now. I mean, how many of us are here today that have said something that you wish you could take back?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Right? As soon as you say it, you say, "Oh man, I wish I didn't do that." Or later on, he says that in verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defile the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fires of hell." The Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of those things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." But look at this. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Thereby we bless we God, even the Father, and thereby we curse men, which are made after the similitudes of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Either a vine, figs? So no fountain can both yield salt water and fresh." We've got to be careful about our tongues. These are the areas, this tongues is one of the areas we can practice temperance in our Christian experience. Just work on it, amen. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says, "Where there no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer," and that's gossiper, "the strife ceases." So when someone comes running their yak at you about somebody else gossiping, you know how you put it out? You don't respond.
That's right.
You say, "No, not today." You know, one of my favorite deals, if something like that goes on, I say, "Hey, see that bird?" You say, "Man, you're standing in the building. There ain't no bird." They'll get it eventually, right? "Yeah, you see that bird?" Right? Someone comes up saying something, just say, "Well, you know, man, it's a kind of cloudy today, you know." Don't give in to it. I'm talking from experience, right?
Pile wood.
Yeah. Just remember this saying, if someone gossips to you about someone, they will always gossip about you.
That's true.
So the other area that we can practice self-control or temperance, not only in our tongues, but also in our tempers. Say, "Now, why'd you have to go and do that today," right? Right? Might as well, you know, flying off the handle, getting mad and getting even, right? And some people lack the spoils or the blessings of God because they cannot control their temper. They are out of control. They have no self-control. It's not wrong to be mad about something. The Bible says that. Jesus got mad when he went into the temple, did he not?
He did.
But he was mad at the right things.
Yeah.
For the right reason.
And he didn't sin either.
Right.
Our problem is that we get angry and then it's like out of control.
Right.
Like our tongues, it just catches everything on fire. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath." You got to be careful about this thing called anger, because your temper can get you in big trouble.
Yep.
There's testimonies of that. Amen. You might still be reaping what you sowed for getting out of control and getting mad. How many men and women or even young boys and girls under 18 that are incarcerated today in juvenile detention or state prison or federal prison because anger got the best of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one grand swoop, they made a decision out of anger, and it's cost them their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, it has literally cost them their lives. And I know you could look up in a sermon illustration book or something like that, find all these stories about people. I'm just telling you, you can think of somebody right now, or maybe even yourself, where you let anger get out of control. And I'm telling you, my friend, you got to get a handle on it. Because anger will ruin your relationships. It'll ruin your marriage. It'll ruin your relationships with your children. We must, and your friends, we must get a handle on it.
Amen.
Because having a temper can get you into big trouble. You know. And you already know how I feel about people that have red hair. I used to have red hair when I was a kid. I used to have a lot more hair too. Right? Right? I've had people tell me that, well, don't you see this is red hair? That ain't no excuse. You think that's going to fly with God? Well, God, I blew up on somebody, but, you know, I got red hair, you know? That ain't going to work. Amen? We do some, we have these counseling guides in our church we give out, and there's two counseling guides that I cannot give out enough. I'll tell you what, I have... And I believe they both go, one is bitterness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you, I could not find an extra one. But the other one I always hand out with bitterness is I always hand out anger in the Christian. God has used these. It's full of scripture. They use these counseling guide. And we'll get you one. We'll get you two. If you want them, just reach out to us on our website or someone that's connected to our church, and we'll help get that. But this anger in the Christian, and then the other one is bitterness, and then the third one that's coming up is overcoming fear. And this is all scripture that'll all help you. We buy these now through Heartland, but Brother Jet had sent a bunch of these to me a long time ago, and I just keep giving them out. You need to work on it. You know, never think of holding a grudge or trying, or let me say, like, don't try to get even with people. You say, but man, you got to understand, I'm mad and something needs to be done. Let me tell you something. If someone has hurt you, God knows that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, God can take care of them a lot better than you can.
That's right.
And if you're going to enact your vengeance upon them, you're the one that's going to be paying for it. And then why would God enact his vengeance on them if you're stepping up to do his job anyways? I promise you that if they don't get it in this life, they will get it in the next. God's going to right every wrong. Everything that's crooked, he's going to make straight. He says in Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." Don't break down. Don't take God's place in this thing of vengeance. Don't give a place unto wrath. And then he goes on to say in Romans 12:19, "For it is written," that means this is the word, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." He's going to make it right.
Yes.
So don't give your life up because of anger. Don't give in to the temptation. Don't lose your self-control. You know, I don't advocate watching too many Hollywood movies at all, but there is one movie I like, and I had mentioned it to Christy this morning. It's A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. The story is about Fred Rogers, who had that children's show on PBS. It's a wonderful movie. Tom Hanks plays the lead role in it. It is a wonderful movie. Talks a lot about anger and what he was saying, how he deals with anger. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can deal with anger. And he was saying in the movie that you could, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but, you know, just one part, you could pound a lump of clay, right? Or you can go on a piano and go to the loud keys and bang on them or whatever. There's a lot of things you can do. Right here in this beautiful house, in this area, you can run through the woods, amen? Do whatever you can. Get a stick and beat a tree. Don't get angry. Don't let your temper get the best of you. And then another area that you can practice self-control is your temptation. And you say, well, I don't have no temptations. Well, you're not being honest today. Because everyone does. 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13 says, there hath no temptation but taken you, but as such common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with that temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Everyone is tempted. Everyone has a propensity to cave into their temptations. And the only way you're not going to do that is by exercising temperance or self-control. Amen. Many people don't experience the spoils of the Word of God and of Christian experience because they're slaves to their temptations. They don't even want to try to start. You say, well, I'm in bondage. Well, you need to get out of bondage. Amen. You say, well, it's just no one knows. Well, God knows. Amen. And find somebody you can trust. Christian counselor, somebody that you're good Christian friend that you can trust, and you need to be accountable, and you need to start from square one. Amen. I tell men that I'm telling you, man, pornography is it's a killer. It's a killer. It's a killer. And it's every man's battle. And it's so prevalent today. You know, I talk to a lot of men, and I've talked to some that I've been close enough to about it. And without a doubt, every one of them have told me at a very young age they were exposed to it. Got to get a handle on it. You can't let it control you. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin your relationships. It'll ruin your marriage. You got to get a handle on it. You can't cave in to the temptation. The Bible says, blessed is a man in Psalms 1 that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. The psalmist is saying you need to be careful about where you walk, amen, where you sit, amen, who you're getting your counsel from, what's coming in the eye gate. Amen. What's coming in the ear gate? Amen. But I really like that because, when he says it in Psalms, he just doesn't leave it off there. He says, a blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. To be something if that's all that's said, that you're not supposed to do that. But he says the key is, what's the key? You don't walk in this, and you don't walk in the counsel of the godly. You don't stand in the way of the sinner, right? But his delight is what? It's in the law of the Lord.
Right.
And in his law he doth meditate day and night. Mm-hmm. And then he says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And not only that, but going back to our lesson here, he's going to bear fruit. Mm-hmm. And he shall bring forth his fruit in due season.
Yeah.
Amen. It's gonna, his leaf shall not also wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. It'll be a blessing. I think many Christians today, all they think about is, man, all the things I can't do. No, why don't you look about all the things you can do? Amen.
Man, good.
Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life.
Yes.
Life more abundantly. Who are you looking at over there? Well, there's nobody there. Amen. And there's nobody there. Amen. I'm just pointing out to the lake. Amen. After you get out of church, then you can go there. Amen. But you shouldn't be out there in the lake. You should be in church next week. Amen.
Amen.
We'll be looking for it. Amen. Wow. All right. Well, so that's what we have here. So how many steps have we went through so far? We've got three, right? Let me read it again. He says, whereby were given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence. I mean, come on now. Give all diligence. Diligently seek these things. Add to your faith virtue, moral character, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, or self-control. Amen. I don't want to wear you out on the next one. Amen. But the next one, and I'm just going to just preface it by saying this, it's patience or endurance.
You have to be patient to get to the next one.
Yes, you have to be patient. So Lord willing, we'll pick this up next week and we'll be back into our regular gathering spot. That isn't the church. It's just a place where the church gathers.
Amen.
But we're really excited. We're really excited that we can be together as a church family.
Amen.
Once again. So let's pray and have a little time of reflection, a little time of invitation. Even where you're at now, if you would just simply just bow your heads and close your eyes. And Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word, Lord. Your word is what changes everything, Lord. Thank you for saving us. But Lord, help us to realize you didn't save us just to exist, Lord. You want us to be something, Lord, that'll bring glory to your name. So Lord, use us this week. Lord, I want to pause and just for a moment. And Lord, if there's anyone listening, I pray, Lord, if they're not saved, that today they'd get saved, that they would just simply pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I want you, Lord Jesus, to take over my life. Come into my heart. Save me, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would pray that and they would do that the best that they know how. And Lord, for us as believers, as we open your word and we read these verses, Lord, we just need you so much. We need your touch. Lord, we need you to just continue to work miracles day to day in our lives. So, Lord, forgive us where we fail you. Forgive us of our sins, dear God, for indeed they are many. And help us during these next few moments in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the guitar softly plays, let's just take a minute of reflection. And this would be your prayer to your Lord.